tonight and find the book of Ruth, chapter 2, the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 2. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for all that you do Sunday by Sunday, but the last song is going to be, I believe, we'll be singing till Jesus comes. Our redemption is found in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we make our way through the book of Ruth, we're introduced to another character. There are three primary characters in the book of Ruth. Naomi, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and Boaz. Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to see that beginning tonight, chapters 3 and 4, on two subsequent Sunday evenings. And it's appropriate that we see it beginning tonight because we come to the Lord's table tonight to take of the bread and the cup given to us by our Savior Jesus to remind us of the price that he has paid for our redemption. Last Sunday night, we began our journey through the book of Ruth, only four short chapters, and it's my plan to preach a sermon on each chapter. Last week, I'm calling this study through Ruth, the Gospel of God's Sovereign Mercy. We see it throughout the book. Last Sunday night, in chapter 1, God's Sovereign Mercy to the Bitter. Naomi was a bitter woman. But by the time we get to the end of the story, she'll be blessed because she'll be full. And tonight, God's Sovereign Mercy to the Alien. And then next Sunday night, Junior Hill will be here. Then the following Sunday night, God's Sovereign Mercy to the Humble. And then finally, God's Sovereign Mercy to all the nations through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a descendant, as we will see in chapter 4, the last few verses. He is a descendant, Jesus is, of Boaz and Ruth. But tonight, God's Sovereign Mercy to the Alien. I invite you to follow along in God's Word as we read now the second chapter of Ruth. Begin with verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. And just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." God said, "Please let me glean and gather." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind all the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. Whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. And Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. And Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I work with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. Then she added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. That's going to be a key term you'll need to keep in mind, kinsmen redeemers. And then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. I wonder if the folks up in the sound booth could tweak my sound just a little bit. It's just bouncing around up here to me. It may sound normal to all of you out there, but to me it sounds like I'm in a barrel. And I'm not sure if I can go 75 minutes sounding like that. You did bring a midnight snack, didn't you? I don't think we'll go anywhere close to that. Just funning with you a little bit. Thank you. Let's talk about God's sovereign mercy to the aliens. It's an issue in our country today. We have lots of aliens, millions of them. Some of whom are here legally. They have their green card. Some of you perhaps have a green card. You weren't born here. You were born in Asia or Africa, maybe the Middle East. Many are here illegally. Now, it's not my place to make political counsel in this pulpit. It is my place to tell you tonight that God does care about the alien. And that needs to be an influence and a factor in our relationships to them. We're going to see that in the life of this Moabitess Ruth, God's concern for an alien and how God saw that she received mercy when she was in a foreign land. The land of Israel. The land of God's chosen people. So before we look carefully in Ruth chapter 2, I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we'll look there in just verses 17 and 18 and 19. As you know, the book of Deuteronomy is a series of messages that the great leader Moses proclaimed to the people of Israel at the end of the 40 years of wilderness wanderings before they went in to possess the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 and following, Moses said to the people of God, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. That's just a word about God's sterling, perfect, noble, holy, righteous character. Verse 18, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Now, an alien would be anybody in this case who was not a descendant of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Verse 19, and you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. You once were foreigners. You were in an alien land, and you are to show kindness and love to them, just like God showed kindness and love to you. God's sovereign mercy to the alien. Let's go back to Ruth chapter 2. Naomi was a Moabitess. She was a foreigner. You might call her today an international. We have lots of those in our community. Hundreds of them. More come in all the time. Most come in without any knowledge of God or Christ or the Bible. We have them here Sunday by Sunday. We have them Wednesday by Wednesday by the scores, trying to teach them the Word of God, the gospel of the Son of God. So, this is the story of Ruth, who was not Jewish, but an alien. And she had gone back with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Bethlehem. Naomi was from Bethlehem. And she and her husband had left Bethlehem along with their two sons. They had gone off to Moab during the days of the famine in Bethlehem. And there her husband died. Both of her sons died. And now she's come home. One daughter-in-law stayed back in Moab. But Ruth was persistent. She said, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. And she said, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I believe that was what we might call a conversion experience. She was confessing that she was turning away from the gods, the false god Chemosh of the Moabs, to Yahweh, the one true and living God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses and the people who had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. Now their home, it's home for Naomi, certainly not home for Ruth. And the narrator of this book, we don't know who gave us this book under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Some think Samuel, but we don't really know. So we just call it the narrator. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. The narrator introduced us to Boaz. Boaz is a man of standing. You may have a version that says a man of valor. He was a man of some means, some financial means. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of honor. And we're going to see that Boaz plays a key role in chapters 2, 3, and 4. In fact, Boaz becomes the hand of God to extend mercy to Ruth and to her mother-in-law, Naomi. So, first of all, I want you to see in verses 1, 2, and 3 that God extended his mercy to Ruth by guiding her to the place where she worked. First of all, I want you to see verses 1, 2, and 3 that God extended his mercy to Ruth, this young widow, by guiding her to the place where she, Ruth, worked. Look in verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech. That's their family clan. A man of standing whose name was Boaz. Boaz was related to Naomi's husband. Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. And we'll see more about this later, but it was the law of God, where God said to the Israelites, when you go into the fields at harvest time to gather the harvest, leave some behind. If you drop a stalk of wheat or barley or some kind of grain or some piece of fruit falls to the ground, don't go back and try to go back and just sweep the fields clean, but leave some behind for the poor and the widows and the fatherless and the orphans and the alien. So it's harvest time. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 22, well, we read that when they arrived back in Bethlehem, the barley harvest was beginning. This is late March, early April. So Ruth the Moabitess says to her mother-in-law, "Let me go to the fields and pick some leftover grain. Just wherever I can find favor. Who will ever let me go to their field?" The narrator's kind of leaving us some suspense here in this story. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Go ahead, my daughter." And so she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvester. She would pick up whatever was left over there so that she and her mother-in-law would have something to eat. And the narrator says in the middle of verse 3, "As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech." Now, when you and I read that phrase in verse 3, "as it turned out," it sounds like by the luck of the draw, just by happenstance, by accident. But I want to suggest tonight that this was no happenstance at all, but this was an expression of God's sovereign mercy to Ruth in guiding her to the very place where she worked, because here she was introduced to Boaz, one of the kinsmen redeemers. Dean Ehrlich, who is professor of Old Testament at the Trinity Episcopal School of Ministry near Pittsburgh, said of this phrase, "as it turned out." In Hebrew, the words translated in our English Bibles, "as it turned out," literally means "her chance chanced." The sentence literally reads, "her chance chanced the portion of the field belonging to Boaz." To capture the sense of the Hebrew, we could translate more idiomatically, "it just so happened that she found herself in a portion of the field that belonged to Boaz." The reference to blind chance, according to Professor Ulrich, is a brilliant rhetorical device that makes for good storytelling and good sermonizing. The writer did not believe in luck. Rather, he used this expression to get us thinking about the providential activity of God in the lives of Naomi and Ruth. Ruth's good fortune strains any belief in chance. From a human perspective, Ruth happened to glean in Boaz's field. She wandered into his field without intention or even knowledge. She could have just as unknowingly entered the field of someone else. From God's perspective, though, Ruth was on Boaz's property by design. Everything that had happened to Naomi and Ruth over the last 10 years had been foreordained by God to bring them to this moment. He, God, was about to do something significant. Indeed, he was, as we shall see. This was no coincidence. This was the sovereign mercy of God directing the footsteps of this young widow Ruth into the field of Boaz. Now, I said this last Sunday night, but it bears repeating again this week. The longer I live, the more I see the providential hand of God in the affairs of men and nations and brothers and sisters in Christ and in my own life. God is at work in ways, unseen ways, that we oftentimes cannot see when they happen. Let me just give you one from my experience going back many years now, almost 40 years. I was pastor of the Carolina Baptist Church right out of college. I was pastor there for almost 2 years, and then Kim and I met during those 2 years, and we married and moved to Texas, and I served church out on the prairie in Texas for 3 years. And as I was beginning my third and final year as a student at Southwestern Seminary, Kim and I had come home for the Thanksgiving. succeeded me as pastor at Carolina Baptist Church. Had served about 2 years, had resigned, and the pastorate was open. And I was very interested in going back there and being considered and being pastor a second time. But I just do not believe you ought to promote yourself. I just don't go there. I'm not upset with pastors that do that, but I don't send out resumes. I just don't do that. But I had an interest in going back. And so on the day after Thanksgiving, I just so happened to be in downtown Florella, and I ran into a member of the church, and we got engaged in conversation, and he said to me, "You wouldn't be interested in being our pastor again, would you?" I said, "Well, I might be." He said, "Well, my father-in-law is chairman of the search committee." He said, "What do you think if I tell him you might be interested in him to give you a call?" I said, "Yeah, why don't you tell him to give me a call?" And the next day, his father-in-law gave me a call. That was in November. They waited until June 1, when I graduated, for me to come back and be their pastor. And that was just the providential hand of God. Part of downtown I didn't typically go to. Not that Pearl is a big downtown. I mean, you can cover the whole thing in 3-4 minutes, but I see that as I look back. God directed my steps to be in that particular place on that particular day at that particular time in order that I might intersect with this man whose father-in-law was chairman of the pastor search committee. We see it here. God extends his mercy to Ruth by guiding her to the place, to the fill of Boaz, because Boaz is going to play a key role in what happens in the rest of the book. Number 2, verses 14 through 13. Secondly, I want you to see God extended his mercy to Ruth and the protection that she received. God extended his mercy to Ruth and the protection that she received. She could have been at risk. She could have been attacked or abused, but God saw that Boaz was going to be her defender and her protector. Look in verse 4. "Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you,' they called back." This was a godly man. He was a wonderful person to work for. Verse 5. "And Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, 'Whose young woman is that?'" Now, don't read into this more than here. There's no double entree. There's no sexual innuendos here, okay? This is an honorable man. He's older than Ruth, and he's concerned about her. "Whose young woman is that?" He didn't recognize her. Now, he had heard that Naomi had come back. Verse 6, "The foreman replied, 'She's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvester.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now except for a short rest in the shelter." And I want to just point out here that she was a widow, but she was not too proud to work and to work in a difficult assignment out in a hot field gathering food for herself and for her mother-in-law. Verse 8, "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me.'" He goes up to her and says, "Listen to me." My daughter is a term of endearment or affection, concern. He said, "Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. And I've told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." He was protecting her. Danger. He'd already warned those men not to mess with her. Verse 10, "At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner, an alien, an immigrant, an international? Why have you noticed me? I'm not Jewish. I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien.' 11, Boaz replied, 'I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before.'" I'm sure if they had telephones in those days, I know all about you. Then he says, verse 12. This may be the key verse in the entire book. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And she replies, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. Now go back to verse 12. Boaz says to Ruth, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. And what's she done? Well, she had not deserted her mother-in-law. She had been loyal to her. She had come to Bethlehem with her. She cared for her. She was out there working so that her mother-in-law would have food to eat. He said, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And indeed, she did find refuge. She found refuge under the wings of God. But Boaz was the human instrument through which that refuge was provided. Now, God gives refuge today, as he has across the centuries, to those who trust in him. Hold your place in Ruth chapter 2. Let's just look at three references in the Psalms. Look in Psalm 36, verse 7. Psalm 36, verse 7. Now, as we find these verses in Psalms, just remember this phrase from Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Sometimes the writers of Scripture use phrases to speak of God. God doesn't have wings. God is spirit. But God, sometimes the biblical writers use phrases like that to help us to kind of grasp the care of God and the concern of God, the refuge of God, the protection of God. We're protected under the shadow of his wings. Look in Psalm 36, verse 7. How priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57, verse 1, is a very similar statement. Psalm 57, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 61, verse 4. 61, verse 4. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. So this phrase, the refuge in the shadow or the shelter of the wings of God, is a reference to God's mercy in protecting his own. And in this case, mercy was extended to Ruth by Boaz. It was God's mercy, but he was the human instrument for it. Well, the thing I want you to see here, this is God's mercy to an alien. She's not Jewish. She's not an Israelite. She's an alien. She's a foreigner. This is what John Piper said about Ruth and what happened here. Ruth knows that she is a Moabitess. From a natural viewpoint, she is at a great disadvantage. She is a foreigner. She does not resent this, but she accepts it. As a non-Israelite, she does not expect any special treatment. Her response to Boaz's kindness is humble astonishment. You see that again in verse 13. Look again in verse 13 where she says to Boaz, may I continue to find favor in your eyes. That is, mercy or grace. She says to Boaz, you have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant. Though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. His servant girls were Jewish. She was an alien. John Piper goes on to say, and I quote, "She is different from many people today. We have a sense of entitlement. We expect kindness and are astonished and resentful if we don't get our rights. But Ruth expresses her sense of unworthiness by falling on her face and bowing to the ground. Proud people don't feel amazed at being treated well. They don't feel deep gratefulness. But humble people do. And so should you and I." Now, the third thing I want you to see is we think about God's sovereign mercy to the alien, Ruth, in verses 14 through 18, is God extended his mercy to Ruth in the abundance of the food that she gleaned. She was out there working, gleaning the food, but God extended his mercy to her through the kindness of Boaz, and she had an abundance. Look in verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." He asked her to join him for his mealtime. And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain, and she ate all she wanted, and she had some left over. There was an abundance provided for her. And verse 15, and as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. He said to the men workers, "If she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." In other words, just kind of leave some extra stuff behind so that she'll have plenty. God's mercy to the alien. Verse 17, so Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and then she threshed the barley she had gathered and amounted to an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave what she had left over after she had eaten enough. You see, she's the recipient of far more than she needed. It is God's mercy extended to her in the food she gleaned. Now, let's just think about that a little bit. You missed any meals lately? Seriously. Apart from fasting, you missed any meals? You gone to the cupboard and opened the door, nothing there? Or you go and open the door and there's nothing there, so you get in your automobile and you drive to the local supermarket and buy you some. We are an affluent people. And sometimes we come to the table and go, "Why'd you cook that? I didn't want the peas. I wanted meatloaf." Now that's an arrogant, proud attitude. It dishonors the Lord. Boys and girls, and your mom fixes you a supper, don't grumble about what you have. You don't get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every time you want them. 28,000 children died today from hunger and hunger-related diseases. And 28,000 will die tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We think, we do this. We generate all this. We work hard for our stuff. It is God who sends the sunshine and the rain and makes the seed germinate and sprout. We live in a very affluent and abundant land. We are aliens from God apart from Jesus Christ. But he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. Let's be careful. Let's be careful to give him thanks for all that he has provided for us. Number four, God extended his mercy to Ruth in the promise of a kinsman redeemer. God extended his promise to Ruth in the promise of a kinsman redeemer. Look verses 19 through 23, end of the chapter. And her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? And blessed be the man who took notice of you." Naomi was full of questions. And then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one in whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living," that's Ruth and Naomi, "and the dead," that's their deceased husbands. She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Boaz was related to Naomi. Then Ruth the Moabite said, "Even said to me, stay with my words until they finish harvesting all my grain." And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." And so Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Now I just want to quickly introduce this whole concept of the kinsman redeemer tonight, and we'll say more about it. Chapters 3 and 4. But look in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Verses 5 through 10. Moses said to the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, "If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her." So you're married and your husband dies. It's your responsibility, if you're the brother, to marry your sister-in-law. Verse 6, "The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother, so that his name shall not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders of the town gate and say, 'My husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me.' Then the elders of this town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, 'I do not want to marry her,' his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face." It's good, isn't it? Some of you thought the Bible was boring. "Spit in his face and say, 'This is what is done to the man who will not build up my brother's family line. This man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled.'" Well, let's go back to Ruth. And just a little historical background there. Well, we're going to see that Boaz is going to rise to the occasion and take Ruth to be his wife. He is a kinsman redeemer, and he will redeem her and marry her, and they will become ancestors of the promised Messiah. Boaz is a type of Christ. He is an agent. He's a channel of God's mercy to Naomi, Jewish lady, widow, and to Ruth, a Moabitess widow. He is the human face of God's grace to them. Now, there is no sketch of the face of Jesus. We have artist's conception of what Jesus' face looks like, but none of us know. But I think it's fair to say that Jesus was and is the face of God to us, God incarnate. Born in Bethlehem, reared in Israel. And in the Lord Jesus, we see how far God will go to reclaim and restore his people. Like Boaz, who gave food and drink to Ruth and Moab, Jesus, during the days of his earthly ministry, offered food to 5,000 on one occasion and to 4,000 on another occasion. But unlike Boaz, Jesus did far more. Jesus offered his own flesh and his own blood for spiritually starving sinners. And when we come to the Lord's table, as we are about to come, we are remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's mercy to guilty sinners. We are all alienated from God, at enmity with God, unable to make ourselves right with God. But in Christ Jesus, that great unbridgeable chasm has been bridged by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. And the bread that we take is a reminder to us of the body of Jesus nailed to the cross. And the blood that we take is a reminder to us of the cup that we take is a reminder to us of the blood that Jesus shed for our eternal redemption. It is a very solemn time for the people of God to come to the table of our Lord. It's a time for us to search our hearts, see if there be any unconfessed sin in our hearts, and be quick to repent and make it right with God. It is a time for us to express gratitude to God for the gift, the indescribable gift of his Son, Jesus, our Savior. It is a time for us to humble ourselves before God and express to him our love and reaffirm to him.